The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
How can we witness to those with alternative sexual views or feelings? Well, that important subject is one we're going to talk about on today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you for joining us. So we take questions from listeners just like you, and we love it because it helps us keep our hands on the pulse of what's going on in the world today. And we have a very relevant question today. It's a question that many parents are probably struggling with and trying to answer. Now, if you've got a question that you'd like to send to Bob or Sean, you can do that through email, radio@faithalone.org. Well, let's go right to the discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. This is Grace in Focus.
Welcome to the show where we're taking your questions on Bible, theology, practical Christian living. Actually, we're working on a book called Doctrine for Disciples, and it's going to be basically systematic theology. But I've been getting some good feedback from people and good suggestions from people. One man wrote and said, I really hope that you guys emphasize how doctrine is applicable to the Christian life. And in fact, we're planning on having a whole chapter called, the fancy name of peripatology, which means what?
Well, it means the Christian walk. Peripateo is the Greek word for walking. We even have an English word. Peripatetic means someone who's kind of walking around, oftentimes frenetically.
It's I use that word all the time.
Don't you
just
use that?
Every day.
I heard
much.
You earlier today.
I was like, man, that mailman is very peripatetic. I saw a bunch of peripatetic people walking their dogs. No, I don't ever use that word, ever. But, you know, the Christian walk is important, obviously. We're not supposed to just be hearers of the word, but doers of the word. And so, yeah, that's a great thought. We need to be able to address that in the book because there's lots of questions about how should doctrine affect our lives. When it comes to applying doctrine, here's a question from Rachel, and she says, I'm going to keep this short so you'll read it on the air. So, all right, we'll do that. I appreciate that, Rachel. Short questions, I've said before, they get my attention because I have a stack of emails here, and if I see one is like a page or 2 pages long, I'm not likely to go through the whole thing trying to figure out what the question is. I like it short, to the point, so that I can ask Bob these short, to-the-point questions. Rachel, here it goes. Question, our 10-year-old neighbor has told us he is gay, and his parents are embracing it. What do we do now? Our kids have played together daily for the past year, and we have intentionally been building a relationship with them to share Christ.
Wow. Well, I think you're in a better position to answer this since you have 3 kids, all of whom are under, like, between 5 and 9? I have no kids, but I'll give a quick one answer, and then you can supply yours.
If it's a stinker, I'll say something.
All right. I've been reading books about critical race theory, social justice, and you may wonder, why would I bring that up talking about a boy who says he's gay?
Yeah.
Well, it's because the LGBTQ, et cetera, agenda is part of critical race theory.
Okay.
Critical race theory promotes all of that, and all of that buys into critical race theory. So this idea that the world and the United States are systemically racist comes out of the same cut of cloth to say the United States and the world is homophobic, or somehow is abusing people who come from a homosexual lifestyle. Now, it's one thing to say, I tolerate people who are homosexual. I allow them to live their life.
Yeah.
I'm perfectly fine with them doing what they're going to do, even though I do not believe, based on Scripture, that that's in their best interest. However, having said that, I'm not going to promote homosexuality, which is what the homosexual lobby wants, and it's also what the critical race theory wants, is that basically we're supposed to stop being oppressors, and the way you stop being an oppressor is by touting everything.
Right. So what would you say to this mother?
Well, I would say this is a perfect opportunity to speak with your children about this issue and say, okay, Bill has decided he's gay. What do we think about that? And Rachel can talk to her children about that and show her from the Bible that God created them male and female.
Right.
And that a man is to leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and the two will be one flesh.
Yeah.
And it's not a man leaves his mother and father to go be with a man, and the two will be one flesh. Or a woman leaves her mother and father, and she cleaves to a woman, and they'll be one flesh. And so you first teach their kids sound doctrine, but then you tell them, let's talk about how this happens. And I think you could talk about the fact that when a child goes in that direction, it's because they feel that's meeting some need for them, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. They feel happier in their own mind going in this direction. And my response would be the reason they feel that way is because of the educational system. Because our educational system has gotten to the point where it actually promotes the LGBTQ agenda, and it starts in like kindergarten in many states.
Right.
So I would say the children need to learn they're not only ambassadors for Christ in terms of the free gift of everlasting life, but in terms of the abundant life Christ offers. And I think they would say, you should pray for Bill that he comes around and becomes a heterosexual, because that's not good for him.
Right.
If he goes down that path, he's going down a path that, according to Romans chapter 1, is a path that's under the wrath of God.
Yeah. Explicitly. I mean, Paul explicitly says that. That's his big example.
How would you handle that with your own kids? And in fact, I think you've experienced something similar with a neighbor boy dressing as a girl and that kind of thing.
That had happened for a little bit. And, it's a hard question, because here's what I'm thinking. One, you want to love your neighbors.
Right.
You know, and there's no special sins. You know, all your neighbors are going to be sinning.
Right.
And you just got to love them. You know, that's how you evangelize. Love kind of precedes evangelism in most cases.
Right.
On the other hand, my kids aren't missionaries. My kids are little kids, and I have to, they're not fodder for the mission field right now.
Right.
You know, it's like I need to train them up and I need to protect them too. So I like what you said. Talk to your kids about this stuff. That's my policy. I try to talk to my kids about everything, and just, we've said before, we use scientific terms for all kinds of stuff, and I'm open about theology and how people believe different. So I would probably have some type of discussion like what you just said. You know, there are people who believe differently than us, and they don't believe in God, and they don't believe that there's a plan that God has put into place. And so they believe all kinds of different things for all kinds of different reasons.
All right, but now the second part of Rachel's question, which I think is the main part of it, is they've been cultivating relationships so they can witness to this other family. How does this impact her witness?
So in some sense, I think this is easier, because I also think about, there are commands of separation in Scripture.
Right.
And so far as I can tell in Scripture, there's almost no command to separate on the basis of doctrine, except maybe on, you know, when people deny that Jesus has come in the flesh, or possibly with the Judaizers and
Galatians 1.
Possibly. Yeah. It's not explicit, but possibly. But there's lots of explicit commands to separate on the basis of behavior. And one of those separation of behavior problems is sexual immorality.
Yeah, of all types.
Right. If someone claims to be a brother and they're in this sexual immorality, I think there's a warning period and like a time for discipline. But you do not eat with that person.
Right.
Right. So if this couple is like professing Christians and they're getting into this, and by the way, a 10-year-old boy, who knows what a 10-year-old boy thinks?
Right.
You know, you got to give room for a little kid to be confused and trying to be fashionable or something. But let's say they're really committed to the sexual immorality. I think there's an argument to be made for separation there. But if they're unbelievers, that's a totally different story.
Right. And from what Rachel's saying, it sounds like they are unbelievers.
Yeah, if they're unbelievers.
Because they've been wanting to cultivate a witness.
Yeah, if they're unbelievers, that's not a separation issue, because Paul says, you know, otherwise you'd have to be taken out of the world.
Well, the other thing is, how would the 10-year-old that's gay, what does he need to do to be born again?
Yeah, he just needs to believe in Jesus for eternal life.
What about his inclination toward homosexuality?
That's a spiritual growth issue, and it's also probably a temporal judgment issue and all that other stuff. But, yeah, you can still witness to this little kid who's struggling with these issues that, yeah, this is the one way to be saved. You can still be a good evangelist for that.
I had a really good friend in college. It turned out several years after college, I found out that he was a homosexual. He had been one of my best friends in college. I remember I shared my faith with him before, of course, I learned he was homosexual, but afterwards too. And I told him, I said, look, if you simply believe in Jesus Christ for your salvation, for everlasting salvation, for everlasting life, well, then you're secure forever, And your homosexuality, it's not a good thing according to God, but that doesn't keep you from being born again. That's not right. The issue. We don't clean up our life in order to be born again.
Right.
I even wrote an article, and if you go to faithalone.org, you can see I have an article about homosexuals and salvation. And I think we've got several articles on homosexuals and salvation. So I would say you're going to witness to their parents and even to the 10-year-old boy in the same way you'd witness to anybody else. And you really don't even need to get into this issue with them unless they bring it up.
Yeah.
I mean, now your kids may end up and call him Bill. They may talk to Bill and say, you know, you're calling yourself gay is not a good thing. Mm-hmm. And that may put a hindrance on there. But you can always tell your kids, I would think, look, you don't need to go talk to him about that. You can leave that for now because our bigger concern is we want Bill to be born again.
Yeah. So talk to your kids. Be open about these issues. They're not going to be armed against the culture unless you talk to them about these issues and tell them the truth. A lot of Christian families are really failing in that area, failing to educate themselves and therefore being unable to educate their kids about what's going on in culture. So talk. And two, like you say, if they're unbelievers, then keep on witnessing to them.
Absolutely. And didn't you write a little book on, what'd you call it, how to catechize your children?
I did. I wrote a little family catechism, a Free Grace Family Catechism.
And what does the word catechism mean? Most people think that sounds
it's
Roman Catholic.
Instruction. It's just
it has nothing to do with Catholicism.
It's a Q&A format of a way of instruction. Christians have been using that for centuries.
Like the Westminster Confession.
Yeah, like Luther's Shorter Catechism or whatever. We recently published an article by Summer Stevens called 5 Ways to Teach Your Kids About Gender.
Yes.
It's in the September-October Grace and Focus issue, but you'll also be able to find it online.
It's excellent. Yeah.
It's a good 5 good suggestions for individuals and families and churches on how to talk to your kids about these kinds of things and how to arm them against the really bad things that we see in culture now. So thanks for the question, Rachel. I appreciate the conciseness of it. Send me your concise, to-the-point questions at radio@faithalone.org.
Thank you guys for that great discussion. Are you interested in finding other Free Grace believers just like yourself in your area? Well, you can do that by going to our website, faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. And on the website, we have a church tracker. It's an easy-to-use map that will help you locate those other Free Grace churches that might be in your area. So come visit us at the website and take advantage of our free church tracker. It's at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. There are a lot of costs involved in staying on the air. That's why we so much appreciate our financial partners. If you'd like to learn how to become one, you can find out more by going to faithalone.org. We would love to hear from you. Maybe you've got a question, comment, or feedback. If you do, please don't hesitate to send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow in the program, we're going to discuss issues having to do with the biblical idea of hell. So join us for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The proceeding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.